Can't you see it? The world running on EVs and renewable energy? Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Touchdown, Detroit Lions!
You're listening to the best of the Lions.
Oh, baby, how beautiful is that?
A weekly mix of 97.1, the Ticket's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
Some of you may be caught off guard. You know Aaron Glenn's going to interview for jobs. You know Ben Johnson's going to interview for jobs. But Chris Spielman? Oh, yeah. He's interviewing for the general manager job with the New York Jets. And he did not want the general manager job when Brad Holmes was hired. He said he wasn't qualified. It was humble. He said, I'll help any way I can. And along the way, John, I think he's learned some things that make him an interesting general manager candidate. See, that's how it's supposed to work. You're selfless. You're humble. You work. The organization benefits. And now he has a chance to take that skill set and be a general manager just like his brother was. We've asked the question, is this a big deal to lose Chris Spielman? And if he's hired with the Jets, he may take Ben Johnson or Aaron Glenn. Who would you want him to take if he's going to steal one of the coordinators? 248-539-9797.
Well, there's a traditional way of doing things, and I think we could all believe that Chris Spielman is a traditional individual where, hey, you set a goal, and then you map a path to attain that goal. And I don't know if 5 years ago, 4 years ago, did he set a goal that says, eventually I do want to be a general manager in the NFL? And, you know, if it's with the Lions, great. If it's not, then I'll there's 31 other organizations. He played for more than just the Lions. And so he set a goal and then mapped the path to attain that goal. I think it's life 101. And I mean, there are so many people that want to skip steps. And it sounds like he was given the opportunity to skip some of those steps.
Yep.
And you know, if Sheila did offer him the general manager spot and he humbly said, no, I'm not ready for it. It's not something that I'm prepared to do at this time. But he did say, I'd like to be a part of the organization and learn and figure out what it takes so that when I do get that opportunity, I am best prepared. Doesn't mean it's going to be successful. I think we all believe he will be a successful general manager, but he mapped a path. He's taken that route. And now all of a sudden, I don't think it wasn't a surprise to me when, I mean, I don't know if it was you or if it was Tom that sent the text that says, hey, he's interviewing for the Jets job. Not surprised.
I was only surprised in the sense that his previous quotes hadn't indicated this ambition to be a general manager at that time. And that, again, that was 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I mean, he's not an assistant GM. He's in this unique consulting special assistant role that didn't exactly put him in like a GM in waiting. But it makes sense. He's a football guy. He's helped build the culture here. A lot of people give him credit. Mm-hmm. Not sole credit, but a lot of people give him credit for identifying Campbell and Holmes and helping unite the two of them and being kind of in the shadows, a subtle guy nudging the culture along with the heavy hitters, Dan Campbell and Brad Holmes. Here's what I come back to. They're going to lose coordinators and members of their front office. If Brad Holmes is the general manager we think he is, things are going to be just fine. He'll replace them. They'll keep drafting well. They'll stay atop the league. If Dan Campbell is the culture builder, leader, identifier of good people, he'll replace his coordinators and they'll be just fine.
Sure.
If they're the people we think they are, there's nothing to be afraid of. I don't like losing them because it disrupts continuity, but I'm not concerned. Now, the question of who would I rather leave? Glenn.
Sure. I mean, yeah, I think defensively, most people feel this is an offense-driven league.
And the team is specifically driven by their offense.
Yes. And we like and appreciate everything that Aaron Glenn has done. I think his intensity is something that is underrated. We talk about Dan Campbell's intensity. Ben Johnson doesn't, at least on the surface, doesn't appear to have the same persona, I guess you might say, as an Aaron Glenn, who is a little bit more fiery on the sidelines, and same with Dan. But, you know, I don't know that people would view that as big of a loss as losing Ben Johnson. But here's the other thing is you talk about Dan Campbell identifying, not everybody that gets hired is going to be the right hire. And I say that because he initially hired Anthony Lynn as the offensive coordinator.
But I would say, and I know you're going here, more important is identifying when it doesn't work and right. swiftly making those changes, which is what he did with Lynn.
Right. So so far, he's 2 out of 3. And he's fired other assistant coaches along the way.
Aubrey Pleasant.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So he's 2 out of 3 because he identified Aaron Glenn. And he stuck with Aaron Glenn because remember 2 years ago, people were questioning Aaron Glenn and his ability to coordinate a defense. He stuck with him because he knew what he had. He knew what he was seeing and given more tools was going to get better results. Now, all of a sudden, you know, Anthony Lynn comes in as the offensive coordinator and he's not following what Dan Campbell wants. So he takes play calling away, eventually gives it to Ben Johnson in the following season. And that was a home run. That was a guy that he inherited from the previous staff, kept him, and then eventually promoted.
Yeah, I think about it at the college level. Like Nick Saban had to swap out coordinators damn near every other year. And yeah. if you are the driving force, and I think Campbell is, you're not going to bat 1,000. Not every Saban coordinator hit, but you're going to set the tone and you're going to make tweaks and you're going to make changes. And he's shown that he can run a staff. I don't think there's any fear in Dan Campbell replacing either coordinator.
Right.
My preference would be to keep Ben Johnson. Of the two, and they may lose both, but Ben Johnson, I think, is the driving force of this offense.
I think you bring up a great comparison of Saban always replacing coordinators, especially offensive coordinators, where, you know, whether it was
Kiffin at one point,
Kiffin,
Sark,
Mike Locksley, who's now at Maryland. Like, doesn't mean they're going to go on to have success, but they had success while they were there under the guidance of the leader of that program. In college, it was Nick Saban. For us here in Detroit, it's Dan Campbell.
Let's get to the phones. 248-539-9797. Lynn in Detroit, you're on 97.1.
Good morning. You know, I appreciate that you're putting such a positive spin on everything, but at the end of the day, it's not definitely – we have a winning formula that's getting broken up before we even get to a Super Bowl. When Harbaugh took everybody with him, look how that turned out. Now, I know there's a lot of other factors that go with that, but that looked really bad. That's been detrimental to the program, to everything. It's been negative. And, you know, these guys, if they all leave, they're a big part of why – we are where we are. Yeah, Campbell's on top, Holmes. Yeah, we all get all that. But these other guys have a big factor, too. And we all saw Michigan tumble.
Well, so when Jim Harbaugh left, he was the leader. And you brought it up there at the very end. It's not like Brad Holmes is leaving or Dan Campbell is leaving. Those main parts are still in place. Those are the guys that are making decisions. Decisions were made by Jim Harbaugh. And when he left, the leader... the general manager, the coach, is all leaving at the same time.
Yeah, that's how I look at it, too. You took the words out of my mouth. When you lose the leader, that's more significant. Dan Campbell's going to have to replace coordinators if he's going to be here for a long time. And he and Brad Holmes just signed extensions a year ago. They're going to be here for a long time. Joe and Gross Eel, you're on 97.1.
Hey, guys. Of the three that you mentioned, I'll rank them in order of likelihood of leaving. I think... Spielman, I don't think he's going to get hired. He's more of a president of football operations in waiting. He's such a unicorn and Swiss Army knife. As for Ben Johnson, he's 51% gone. I mean, I want him to stay of the three the most. For Aaron Glenn, he's probably 90% gone. And if either of those coordinators leave, it pulls the curtain back on exactly who is in waiting if our assistant coaches. Because the coordinators get so much of the oxygen. I don't know that we have a position coach that's ready to jump in. I wouldn't mind Robert Saleh as our defensive coordinator at all. It makes sense for him to come home and do that. But I just can't see Spielman jumping into a general manager's role, and Ben Johnson needs to stay.
Well, Joe, I mean, yeah, we would love to have Ben Johnson stay. If he's not, there are some guys on the staff, whether it's Tanner Engstrom, Mark Brunell, that could be promoted to that position. Defensively, I'm sure there are some qualified candidates, guys that would interview for it that are currently on the staff. I think that's the one side of the ball that you could see them going outside to hire somebody to come in and coach.
So if Spielman were to get the Jets job and hire Aaron Glenn.
Which I think he'd be a great general manager. I disagree with the last caller.
And hire Aaron Glenn, which is what another caller brought up. Glenn would probably want to hire some of his own guys from his defense right now.
Possible.
And probably promote one of them to D.C. So that's one less guy that, unless you're promoting him to D.C., and now it becomes this this competition to keep players or coaches on your staff.
Right. As an assistant coach, that becomes a very tough decision.
Yeah.
Because of the way things have operated with the Jets. Is that an organization you want to go to?
Yeah. And on the Saleh front, by the way, the latest, the Niners are set to offer him their open defensive coordinator position. He previously ran their defense before. So if people bring him up, that's something to keep in mind. Phone calls, ticket text, 248-539-9797. Spielman interviewing for the Jets job. You've got Glenn and Ben Johnson. Everybody's raiding the Lions. How do you feel about it? It's 97.1.
Great way to open the show today, as we've got the Lions quarterback, the division-winning Detroit Lions quarterback, the number one seed.
There you go.
Detroit Lions quarterback Jared Goff joins us at this time here on 97.1 The Ticket. Jared, as always, we've appreciated all season long. We know you well enough. We'll congratulate you on winning the division and getting the number one seed, but I know you always have bigger fish to fry and you got their eye on the prize, but how would you characterize the feelings today?
Yeah, it feels good. You know, the last, 48 hours, it's a good feeling knowing we got a little rest and get to decompress just a bit and get some guys back and get some extra sleep and the whole thing. And knowing we get a home game next week and knowing it's going to be against a team who's going to play a hard fourth quarter game this week. Yeah, it's all good things. And like you said, though, we know we got the big one we're all going after now, and starts next week.
When do you actually start to go back to work and start to study film and stuff like that and get back to team activities?
I mean, we're in today.
Okay. So we're doing really stuff to, not a whole lot of time to enjoy that then, huh?
Well, yeah, I mean, we don't have, an opponent to prepare for, but yeah, we're in today doing a little work.
So you've already mentioned the rest. Is that basically the biggest part of this and getting guys back? Because I know after the game you were like, hey, it doesn't matter who's out there, but it will be nice to get some people back offensively, David Montgomery, maybe Carlton Davis defensively. How much can that give you a boost?
Yeah, getting anyone back is helpful just for body purposes. But like we've said in the past and like we've shown, it doesn't seem to matter. And certainly defensively with all the guys they have out, they don't care. Those guys are just a bunch of dogs who don't care. It's next man up, and they just keep on showing up, keep on coming out to play, and they're a dangerous crew right now, and I'm happy to have them on our side.
Is there anyone on that defense that in particular you're happy for? Guys that you saw battle as backups, you faced him in practice, that got on the field and made a play? Is there anybody that stands out?
I mean, there's a lot. Yeah, I don't know if I can single any one of them out. But I think the easy one this past week is Amik. He's playing nickel for us a lot throughout the season. He's moved out to corner with some of the corner injuries and had a big challenge this week. And Justin Jefferson's as good as they get in our league, and he was tasked with that and stood up to the challenge and not surprising to any of us. He's a hell of a player. He has been all year, and I think he kind of embodies that. He doesn't care what you say, what you want, what how many guys we have out there, how big he is. He's just going to come out. He's going to play tough, sticky man coverage and make it hard on the opposing quarterback, and he just continues to do it.
Can you talk about that fourth down play you had, the conversion to Jameson Williams? I think it was fourth and six, and it looks like it was one of these blitz buster plays that you have to wait and wait and wait to the last second before you deliver the football, and knowing that you're going to take a hit that you took, can kind of take us through that and what goes through your mind trying to prepare yourself for knowing you're going to have to take that hit?
There was a little bit of a cat and mouse game going on there with us and their defense with, checks and them checking and us checking and them checking and that whole thing. And so, yeah, there I knew they were bringing cover zero blitz, and J-Mo's kind of my only option there as the quickest route coming across the formation, and just kind of had to let them clear that middle of the coverage, and because they'll drop out some of those interior guys, just kind of had to let them clear to the other side. And, with his speed, it doesn't take long, so he got over there pretty quickly and was able to put it out there for him and made a good conversion.
Speaking of cat and mouse game, the fourth and two late, a field goal puts you up three scores. You guys break the huddle. It's on their 6-yard line. You get them to jump off sides. I feel like you guys even did it differently than everybody else, because viewing on TV, you can almost tell when a team's trying to get somebody to jump off sides. And you guys were so standard operating procedure Was that part of the plan there? Is we're not going to make it as obvious as everybody else does.
Yeah. You know, we do put a lot of time into, you know, that situation and trying to get people to jump off sides. I take a lot of pride in it, making it all look the same. And we've been pretty successful at it this year. We've had a bunch of those down in there, tight up fourth down. And yeah, I think a lot of it's the Dan Campbell effect. You know, we've shown to go for it on a lot of these fourth downs. So they can't just say, oh yeah, they're just not going to snap it and they're going to kick the field goal. They have to be geared up and ready to go because we may snap it. We have snapped it. You know, I think that Green Bay game, everyone thought we weren't going to snap that one, and sure enough, we did. We fired off the ball, and we're able to pick up the first down, kick the field goal. So teams remember that stuff. They see it, and they were ready to go. But, yeah, we got them to jump.
After Terrion Arnold goes out of the game, they kick a field goal. It's 10-9. Do you say anything on the sidelines, or does the offense get together and say, all right, we got to kick things into gear now. We've been kind of, you know, slow motion a little bit here. We need to start scoring because you guys end up scoring three straight touchdowns. What's said on the sideline? Any words go between the offense and the defense?
No, not much is said. We knew we were so dang close all day. We were getting stifled a little bit. Their defense was doing a good job, and you know, I was trying to settle in a little bit and see things, and they were doing some things a little bit differently. And you give them a ton of credit, man. They were making it hard on us early, but I think you give us a ton of credit for adjusting and making it work in that second half. And certainly up front, those guys protecting for me and opening those run lanes were incredible all day, and obviously what Gibbs did was incredible. But yeah, just once we settled in, we knew we were so close. We knew what they were doing on defense. We just kind of had to, you know, do our job just a little bit better, identify the, you know, what they were doing a little bit better, and execute. And we were on our way.
Yeah, it kind of goes underrated the way that the adjustments come at after halftime. I mean, the defense after I said that field goal, they shut things down. Your offense, you guys pick things up. How underrated is it of what goes on at halftime with the coordinators and the team coming together and figuring things out?
Yeah, you know, sometimes there's a lot that goes on. Sometimes there's nothing that goes on. Sometimes we're just hanging out, getting a little water, getting a little bit of a breather. But, yeah, in a game like that, yeah, there's absolutely some adjustments made. And Ben and the staff and AG and his staff are making changes and making sure we're on, you know, what we need to be on, and then come out the second half and, you know, get ready to go from there.
Have you seen all the speculation this week about your offensive coordinator, Ben Johnson, and head coaching positions?
No, what are they saying?
They're saying he's got three interviews lined up for later this week.
Three? Wow. All right. Good for him.
How would you characterize your feelings towards that? I'm sure you'd love to keep him, but
he's had interviews before, hasn't he?
Yes, he has. Yes, he has.
Yeah, so I don't know. We'll see. You know, I obviously love Ben. He's the best, and I wish him the best in whatever he ends up doing, but he knows I'd like to have him for, you know, at least one more, and we'll see where it goes.
You said something I thought that was really interesting on the Peacock postgame show. You said that one of his strengths is he provides you clarity and you guys problem solve together. Can you give us an example, whether it was from this game or any game this year, where during the week is a great example of Ben Johnson providing Jared Goff clarity and problem solving an issue that a team was potentially going to give you?
Yeah, you know, it's going to be hard for me to give you an example because it's all day, every day. That's what we're doing, kind of, is talking through these problems and fixing these problems. And, you know, whether it's first or second down, whether it's third down, whether it's red zone, all we're doing is trying to, you know, simplify it for myself. And I'm just constantly asking him questions. And I think a lot of times, you know, in our little post-practice meetings that we have is just me, you know, hammering out some of the issues that I may see and him going, no, we're good because of this, that, and the other, or yeah, that's a good idea. We should add this. And so we're just constantly fixing problems. And I'm very thankful to have a coach who listens and who wants to hear from me and wants to hear what I have to say and ideas. And it's been fun to, you know, get some of those ideas in. And certainly when they're your own, you feel like you need to make them work. So it's fun to be, you know, in working with him.
Got to be fun to work with an offense like this. What Jahmyr Gibbs has done all season, and the game he had on Sunday night, and then watching Jameson Williams, you get him over 1,000 yards. It's got to be a quarterback's dream to step into an offense that has this many weapons.
Yeah, it really is. It's been so fun for me, and really for, you know, years now, it's been a lot of fun to be with these guys, and to just the continuity of who we have up front, who we have at the skill positions. Myself coming back for, you know, the fourth year now, it's fun, man. It really is. And it's explosive. It's smart. It's fast. It's you know, it's aggressive. It's, you know, physical. It's everything you want in offense. And we've had good success, and now it's time to keep it going.
So can you compare at all what it was like going into this year's playoffs compared to what you felt like going into last year's playoffs?
I don't know. You know, it seems pretty similar, I guess. I'm not sure. You know, the difference is we don't have to play this week. I know that's not a great answer
that's
for you.
A big one, yeah.
We get a little bit of rest. We feel good. We don't know who we're going to play yet. We'll find out in about a week and go from there. But, yeah, I think we feel about the same. But I think, you know, last year after losing that NFC Championship, it created, you know, this little fire within everybody going like, all right, we're not going to let that happen again. And it started right there, right then there in that locker room after that game, and that's kind of carried through the offseason and now into this season, and I guess that would be the difference.
We've talked a lot about the Detroit football culture. How would you describe the culture of the Detroit Lions locker room?
Yeah, it's pretty strong. It really is. And starts with Dan, obviously, and trickles into his coaches, trickles into our players. And, you know, we don't care where, when, how, and in what way, you know, we're going to find a way to win. You know, even when everyone's saying we should rest our starters against the Niners, we're going to go out there and play and find a way to win. And that's probably the reason why we won against the Vikings, because we play all our starters in that San Francisco game, right? Like, that's got to be the reason why. So, no, I'm just playing around. But I wanted to give somebody a hard time about that, because I think when Dan makes decisions like that and they're questioned after they work, it's pretty fascinating to me.
Of course. Of course. All right, final thing. You guys have become a sensation. And in Detroit, even around the country, did you see the video of actor-comedian Dax Shepard at the Golden Globes watching your game on his cell phone? The Michigan native.
I think Dax is from here, right?
Yep.
Yeah, that was cool. He's obviously a fan, and I'm a fan of his, and it's fun when that crossover happens. And we're doing some fun things right now, and it's fun to be a part of, and I'm happy to be here and happy to be winning and happy that Dax is watching. It's fun.
Of the crossovers and the people you've gotten to meet, the famous people, what's been the coolest for you?
Oh man, it's hard to beat Eminem. That's he's up there, and got to meet him a couple times, and he's my favorite artist ever. And seeing him at the games always gets me fired up too. And I love that he loves rooting us on.
What's the toughest part about being a quarterback in the NFL? I know I would imagine every quarterback has a different thing, whether it's just processing the plays or, you know, reading a defense, whatever it is, just the dealing with the media on a daily basis. What is it for you?
Yeah, for me, it's probably this show every Tuesday.
Yeah.
No, I'm totally kidding. You know, it's probably the balance of just time and you know, when to push and pull as a leader, and you know, how to handle, you know, certain situations in a locker room. And obviously the football stuff on the field is challenging as itself, but you know, outside of that, you know, just handling daily life and your time management and still trying to be, you know, a great husband and son and you know, brother, and at the same time be a great teammate. And that's the part that you try to balance, and I feel like I'm doing a pretty good job of that, but it's always a challenge.
Lastly, Doug had mentioned to me the other day that for the first time he tried the cold plunge. Oh, I'm wondering, God, is Jared Goff a cold plunge guy?
Yeah, I do. I do like the cold plunge. And there was a time where I was doing it a little bit more consistently than I am right now. And you guys are, you know, giving me a little kick in the butt, then I guess I got to go do it. But I will certainly be doing it this week on our recovery week, rest week, and getting my body back. But yeah, no, I am a fan of it, and think you guys should do it more often. You guys should try doing it every day. That'd be fun.
Yeah, I don't know that that's going to happen. I tried it once, and it was excruciating. But final thing for me. I lied, Jared. I got one more thing, because I think it's important. Being at home, the difference the fans make. Talking to the fans right now, tell them what it's like playing at Ford Field as the Lions quarterback.
Yeah, we have the best fans in the world, and it's such an advantage for us being in front of them, and the energy and passion they bring, and the feelings they give us pregame, during the game, the whole thing. It's such an insane atmosphere, and that's not even to mention the false starts and the delay games that they're causing. And yeah, so they know it, but they're certainly helping us win a lot of these games, and to get this home field advantage and to be in front of them and to give them that reward, I guess, to, you know, come out and help us win these games is all you can ask for. And I know they'll be fired up, and you know, whatever it is 2 weeks from now, and We'll be ready to go too, but can't wait to play in front of them for two more games.
Jared, appreciate your time, and I think given all that you've done for Detroit, I think the least Gator and I can do is do the cold plunge.
Yeah, give it a shot.
Yeah, we'll commit. We'll commit.
Every day. It's not supposed to be easy. That's why it's good for you, you know?
There you go.
Thanks for your time. Good luck. We appreciate it.
All right, guys. Thank you.
There he is, Lions quarterback Jared Goff joins us every Tuesday. What a great way to start the show. A lot to unpack there, and we will get to that next. Any impressions you have? Because I noticed something. I just looked down at the feed, the video feed. One of the questions had people going, oh. I don't know if it's a correct interpretation, but we'll get to that at 10:20. Plus your phone calls and feedback. Lions quarterback Jared Goff there. Here on 97.1, the ticket.
You know, oddly enough, that clip is spliced for me not wanting to pay Jamal Williams. I didn't really have a problem with David Montgomery, but that's how our songs work. You get slandered. It's fun, though. You did hear something earlier, and I think it's important because it's been one of the most annoying storylines. I've been annoyed with callers. I've certainly been annoyed with hosts. This whole Aiden Hutchinson thing. And even on Sunday Night Football, I manifested. Stop. You snapped your leg in half. You're done. You're going to play 15 years here. You're trending to put on a gold jacket and be in Canton. You're trending to be the best or second best defensive player in modern Lions history, probably behind Chris Spielman. Don't give me the Dick Night Train Lane stuff. I mean, that's from the 50s, 40s, whenever that was. The point is, I think we can all stop with the fantasy land now. Dan Campbell has said Aiden Hutchinson suffered a season-ending injury. So stop.
So he's not coming back.
Stop.
What you're saying.
Yeah, let me read you the quote from Dave Burkett. He tweeted it out. Campbell says he reemphasized he has a season-ending injury, but if anybody can come back from it, it'd be Aiden. And then Dave Burkett says, make it sound like Hutchinson won't be back for the Super Bowl.
Right, because that's what happens when you snap your leg. So just let it go. Any update on Carlton Davis? I know David Montgomery, the expectation is he would give it a go. Because you had the bye week, you'll get two more weeks. He could give it a try. What about Carlton Davis?
Yeah, Carlton Davis, Derek Barnes won't be back for the Super Bowl if they make the Super Bowl.
Wait, so you're telling me guy who broke his jaw and is drinking out of a straw won't magically come back, play 75 elite snaps a week?
I knew that wasn't going to happen.
Shocking.
But there's positive news on Arnold Zeitler and Pat O'Connor.
Excellent. The Zeitler thing, it just looked like hammy. He didn't blow it out. You got 2 weeks. He'll get all the best medical care, plus you have depth at guard. The Terrion Arnold thing was the most encouraging thing.
Mm-hmm.
When that happened, I didn't have foot contusion on my bingo board.
No, when they're bringing out the cart, that's when you're like, oh, never good.
And it didn't look like bruised foot.
Mm-mm.
But thank goodness.
Because players know that level of toughness, let me walk off the field, even if I got a limp, even if you have to help me, never. I've heard players say, just don't bring out that cart, ever. Because to them, that means your season is over.
So, here's my question. And I understand if on surface you bristle at this as a Lions fan. But we've talked about the playoffs started last week. And that if you did your job, you had four games left in your season. Now it's three. One down, three to go. But I want to know now that the dust has settled. Right, all the emotion of Sunday night, the euphoria, in our case, relief. There will be no joy unless they win the Super Bowl. The joy is the Super Bowl. That's how I watch sports. That's what I do. I'm a bad, bad, mean New Yorker. But my point to you is, I understand if there is joy in making the Super Bowl because you've never done it before. In that moment, there will be joy. There is no question. What I am saying, though, is, have you come to terms with the reality of your situation, that when you are the one seed and you have a bye week, and as Dan Campbell so appropriately said, all roads go through Detroit, have you come to grips with the reality of your situation? Three wins, or this was all for nothing. Three wins, or it's failure, and it's devastatingly so, that it's all or nothing. Because I'm not, even though Rico was highly insulting in pre-show. I am not going to slander you, but there's no joy in losing a Super Bowl when you've been ahead in the fourth quarter twice in the last 3 years. There's no joy.
See, but I agree with what you're saying, Mike, but I don't think you have to win the Super Bowl in this town for this reason, because you've never been there. So you've never tasted Super Bowl success, but you've finally gotten off the list of teams who have never made it. So for 2 weeks, you get to live large. You go into that game, and if you lose it, it sucks. It's horrible. Trust me, I know the feeling.
I've heard.
You know the Giants have lost. Yes.
One.
But you know the feeling. And it's just like, we made it all the way here for this?
That's my point.
Kidding me?
But this fan base, I don't think they can handle that. Remember, this is a fan base that has treated this team like the Avengers. I don't think they're prepared for Doctor Strange to come down and tell them there ain't no way out of this deal. I'm paraphrasing Doctor Strange. No. The point is, I want to know if fans have come to the reality of this now. And look, you've got 2 weeks. The best thing in the world is when you've gotten the one seed and you get to chill out on wild card weekend and watch everybody kill each other. It lawn chair and you are watching in the distance a bomb go off. But I would just like to know, has it hit you that these are the terms? I mean, look, if you want to create a scenario that somehow you lose the Super Bowl and it's on Ray Finkel's kick with 4 seconds to go, fine. You can live in whatever world you want. I'd argue that's the most devastating of
it. It is.
So my thing is, you could say whatever you want now, but I think you know in your heart, Rico. Not you, I'm saying the people. You got to go 3-0. Or this is going to be the worst thing in your sports history. You just, if this team's the one seed and they do what you, like for instance, San Francisco rolled into number one seed Green Bay with Aaron Rodgers off rest, at home, it's snowing, it's Frisco's soft. 12-7 win, Green Bay season ended. Devastating. Getting to the NFC title game. Do I need to remind Lions fans how devastating that is? You lose in the Super Bowl, forget it.
Mm-hmm. Especially if you lose in overtime.
I've heard that. So my question is to Lions fans. Has it sunk in yet? That you guys, you've arrived.
And on top of that, Mike, I'm going to add the cherry on top. 15 wins.
Like, yes.
You didn't make the playoffs and, you know, you were 10-7. No. You were 11-6.
It's one of the great regular seasons in the last decade to 15 years of the NFC.
Because what you don't want to be is you don't want to be the Minnesota Vikings that was, 15-1 and did not make the Super Bowl.
Was it against Gary Atlanta? Anderson. Yes. Oh, my God, dude. Jamal Anderson was the running back?
Mm-hmm. They were 15-1.
At home?
Yes.
Yes. That was 98?
Was it 98 or was it not?
I don't know. We're old.
Yes.
It's okay. The point is, look, Kenny is a super fan. I want to get Kenny's perspective on this. But understand, it's not negativity. It's actually, you've arrived. Mm-hmm. When you're a Super Bowl contender, like, I'll give you an example. Okay, you guys hate my team or you hate me altogether. Just fine. There was no way out for the Celtics last year. It was win it all, or this is a complete MF disaster. The New York Yankees, I don't care that they won X amount of games. I don't care that they beat Rudy Poo teams in the playoffs. Yankees, Dodgers for all the marbles. The winner, it's a parade. The loser, this was a complete waste of my time.
Well, think about
that's it.
I mean, last year, Mike, the Ravens, you did all of this stuff to get to play the Chiefs at home in Baltimore, and you lost.
And I want to offer one other thing out there, because I'm seeing it come through on the phones. And I'm telling you, this is a terrible way to think, people. Well, there's always next year.
Let me tell you about next year.
Uh-oh. I broke the button. I broke the button, David. I'm not kidding. I can't turn it off. There we go. Okay. Thank you. We're going to need engineering in here. I'm pretty sure I broke the button.
Yeah.
Let
me tell you about next year. Funny things can happen.
Yeah, it's called Brock Purdy's
next year.
Ulnar nerve.
No. It's not that. It's called, Christian McCaffrey's gone for the year. And Ayuk's dead.
Hey, I'm with you.
And Trent Williams.
I'm with you.
Right. So
there is
next year is not guaranteed.
I want to channel my inner Carl Weathers as Apollo Creed. I believe it's Rocky III. There is no tomorrow. Come on. Mm-hmm. You can't sell me that, guys. Next year, you could lose Goff with a non-contact injury in the summer. There is no tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Do not do the copium. Do you accept the terms that you are the big dog? It goes through Detroit.
And you got to accept the pressures that come with the one
Super Bowl or bust.
Right. Because if you made it this far, there's pressure, and you better be able to handle it. Because if not, you're going to be sitting there saying, wow, I can't believe we went on this long ride only to not finish. It's not fun.
It's like when Kenny has too many whiskeys.
Now, he becomes fun, Kenny. He's fun. He's slick back here, Kenny. Okay.
It's probably best if we break.
Lions don't play this weekend. But you're going to be watching intently to see who they face in their first playoff game next weekend, following weekend.
Sure, everybody is.
And John?
He wants to know, who's it going to be? Who's the first victim?
Who do you want it to be?
I want it to be the Commanders. Because I'm on Commander Island, and I picked them to win. I don't think Green Bay wins. I picked them to cover, but I don't think they win against the Eagles. So I want the Commanders. And part of it is, like, all right, I still have some animosity of the way I was released. That's why I wanted to come to Detroit. I wanted to come to Detroit my whole career, but I wanted to go to a team that played the Commanders. We played them the second game. Got a chance to beat them. Now I want to beat them again.
So you want them coming into Ford Field?
I want them coming into Ford Field, and I want them to pay a heavy price. Plus, while Jaden Daniels is going to be a good quarterback, and he is a good quarterback, but the same thing I talked about with Bo Nix, they're going to do rookie things in the playoffs. And when you do it in the playoffs, it's costlier than the regular season. Teams in the playoffs will make you pay. The Lions are one of those teams. Just like the Bills will make Bo Nix pay this week, the Lions will do it next week as well.
The teams they could play, the Commanders, mm-hmm. the Packers, the Vikings, or the Rams. Could be any of those four teams.
Yeah.
You say the Commanders?
I want the Commanders.
I say the Packers. It's two birds, one stone. Playing them means...
But Kelly tells you it's so hard to beat a team twice in 1 year. How could you possibly beat them three times in 1 year?
That's your first problem. You're listening to Kelly.
Well, we all were forced to.
I know.
Thank you, Heather.
Sorry.
But John, it means the Eagles are out. Right? So the biggest threat is eliminated in the NFC playoffs.
Sure.
You let the field thin itself out because everybody else is going to commingle while you get the worst team in the postseason. The Packers are very beatable, to your point. Lions are 2-0 against them, and they have struggled against the best of the best.
Yeah, but
and okay. I like beating the Packers. It's been fun to beat the Packers. FTP. Like, this team really gets up and has a little extra juice when they face Green Bay.
All right. Been there, done that. Check that box twice. Vikings. Been there, done that. Check that box twice. Who are the teams that they haven't played? They haven't played the Commanders. That's who I want. So the next game that you play in the NFC Championship game, because everybody says, ooh, the Eagles, they're so scary. No, they're not. All right? Bring it on. And maybe it is the bias that I had in that division. I'm just disappointed we can't play the Cowboys again. But let's beat the Commanders, and then let's take it to Jalen Hurts and Saquon Barkley. Oh, I'm going to do the right thing, and I'm going to sit out so I don't get the rushing record. No. You're going to sit out, and then you're going to see what it's like to play against a really good defensive front that can stop the run. And a team that maybe they're not going to respect the Lions' defense. I hope they say it. I hope they say it out loud, because this is Aaron Glenn, and this defense is going to find a way to stop him in his tracks.
Tom, who do you want to play of this group of teams? And we'll throw that out to everybody, by the way. I mean, we're all going to be watching these games. Who do you hope the Lions are hosting a week from this weekend?
So the who you want?
Who do you want?
I mean, it's the Commanders, and it's easy. For every reason John just said, their defense is not good. I think the Lions would put
even the spike
40-plus on them. You know, but the reasons why John just stated why I think that they'd be the is why I don't think they'll win this weekend. I mean, Tampa Bay's got a better defense. Tampa Bay has Todd Bowles against a rookie quarterback. I don't see how they could pull that off against Tampa and then not come in here and do the same, where then it would maybe be scary, you know? See what I'm saying?
Yeah, and how much of this is Jaden Daniels is a rookie quarterback. If he wins his first playoff game on the road against Todd Bowles, not that I'm going to be afraid to play the Commanders, but suddenly that becomes more dangerous, right? He is a mobile quarterback.
He's going to do the C.J. Stroud.
Win one and then get bounced?
Yeah.
A lot of playoff experience down in Tampa. People don't realize it. Baker nearly went into Arrowhead and won with the Browns. I mean, they're very, I think, sneaky, the Buccaneers.
Maybe. I mean, they can score a ton of points. They've been red hot the last 2 months of the season.
A lot of their losses when they were really struggling with injuries and Evans were out were still very close. They took the Chiefs to OT this year. Remember the 49er game they lost by three when McCaffrey, I think that might have been his first game back, but they were decimated by injury. I think the Buccaneers are very tough out. So I don't know how the Commanders go down there. And having said that, that's why we play the games and anything can happen, you know, and stuff. Mm-hmm. But I think if you're being, I almost feel like you have to not count them. That's how strongly I feel about that. That they're not even it would probably be the Packers then.
Well, that's what I stick is the two birds, one stone. Eagles are out, and then you let the cannibalizing happen while you get the weakest team in the field. Like, it's just the preference, right? If you could pick anybody, I'd pick the 7 seed. I don't think you don't have to overthink this, guys. Now, if you were to ask me to rank these four, I would say the Packers are the team I want to play most, followed by the Commanders, then the Vikings. Mm-hmm. The team I want to play the least is the Rams.
Why?
Super Bowl winning quarterback and coach. They've played them tight this year and last year in a playoff game.
Still victories for the Lions.
John, I think they're going to win whoever they play, but they're the team I least want to play of the four.
I just don't want to have...
And I'm also sick of the storylines.
I'm sick of the storylines. I'm sick of listening to clips of a podcast. I'm sick of, oh, well, they were so disrespected in Detroit. You know what? F you. I don't really care. You know what? And we love what you've done for the city of Detroit.
Course.
Just stop talking.
Who do you most want to play and who do you least want to play from the four teams? 248-539-9797. I assume we all are sick of this Rams thing.
Yeah. I don't think there's any question that people are sick of the conversation. I was talking on a show up north yesterday and the host was, they're kind of afraid of the whole Rams thing. And I said, I'm not afraid of it. I just don't want to have those conversations all week long leading up to the game. It's not a topic that I really am excited to talk about. So I'd rather talk about a rookie quarterback. I'd rather talk about the trying to beat a team actually three times, which is hard to do. I'm not going to sit here and say it's hard to win every game in your division. Lions have done that. Mm-hmm. Been there, done that. But I would rather play any of those teams.
Hasn't the Stafford thing been put to bed, though?
Yes.
See, I thought that's what last year did. Now, I don't think that's a lead-up conversation. I mean, we're talking about him being a tough quarterback to play and the matchups with the receivers and all that and their offense and McVay being a good coach. But the old bit Stafford storylines, I think, would not be in play before the game. If they somehow won and knock the Lions out, then they come back into play because that's just kind of getting knifed in the side, almost like not seeing it coming. That would hurt and it would add to it. But prior to, what are we going to say? Who are we still going to do? Who won the trade?
Okay, somebody's going to bring it up.
Well, somebody can. Is this show going to do it?
No.
I think we all know who's going to bring
embargo
it up.
On that topic.
Who? I don't... Who's
going to bring
really,
it up?
Really? You're going to ask that question? I'll give you three chances and the first two don't count.
Well,
Ref Jeager?
No, it's like when the Bills Mafia called into him the Saturday night before the Lions-Bills game, they called him Reagan. Like he didn't know what his name was because they just turned on the station, not familiar with the host. Let me tell you something, Reagan. That's what the guy said.
He'll be playing all the hits.
Oh, he will.
Stafford and Ford
Field. So Kelly says something about last year and the fans. Do we talk about it? I mean, it is news.
I was going to say, we have news once an hour.
I can't bring my kids this year.
Well, you know what? Neither can the Vikings. All right? We heard that storyline, which we didn't talk about either.
I do think, just getting back to the football of it, if the Rams win the coin toss in overtime, they may have won week one against the Lions. Just to give people an idea of how close that game was,
sure,
right?
They have, yeah.
So of all the teams the Lions could play.
Sure, I think if the clock doesn't expire, then the Lions may have actually beaten the Bucks.
My point is, overtime in the regular season, a coin flip is too valuable, and that offense was moving it. And in that game, they lost Puka Nacua, right? He's healthy now, and they've been featuring him. They're the most dangerous football team, taking our nausea from the storyline out of it. To me, they're the most dangerous team, even more so than Minnesota, and it's why I think the Rams are going to win the game. I think they will end up facing Los Angeles next week. But you guys can help us out. Ticket text 248-539-9797. Who do you want to play most? Who do you want to play least? There are four teams on the table, and we've made the poll question about who you want to play most. You can vote Costa and Jansen on X. We'll tally that up throughout the show. John, the early returns.
Mm-hmm.
Says, as a Packers fan, you should absolutely want to play us. You could rest starters and win by two scores. They're going to get blown out on Sunday.
Well, they might.
Ticket texter says Detroit versus everybody. Don't care who we play. Lions win the whole damn thing. We're not afraid of any of these teams.
I love that response, though. Yeah, bring on anybody.
Bring them on. Texter says, bring on the Commanders.
Yeah.
He says, revenge. You need to take them out like they took us out in the 90s in the playoffs, Patrick and Novi.
You're welcome.
But that's a long time coming if you're still holding on to that resentment.
Well, I was on that offensive line, 99.
No, we're talking about going back to like when the Lions last were in the NFC title game, right?
Oh, that's the NFC title. Oh, okay. All
yeah.
Right. Yes. I thought it was the 99.
91. Yeah, 91.
Sure. Yeah. But then the Redskins faced them in 99. And that was the whole Trey Johnson, Robert Porche, Brad Johnson fight.
Yeah, we're talking about the year of our Lord, 1992, January again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that one cost Trey about $250,000 because he got suspended for the first game of the next year.
Texter says, I'm with Jim. Lions face the Packers. That would mean the Eagles have been knocked out and you get the worst team. So you say Commanders, I say Packers. Texter says, Heather is getting her double-digit disco on with these picks, David, in a car.
That is true.
Who do you want the
Lions
to play?
Don't feed the beast. Don't feed the beast. Why would you even read that text?
I don't know. There's a couple more of them too, John.
Feed it. Let's go.
With Heather running away with the football picks, maybe her and John should switch places. John, read the news.
That could be fun.
It could be
all
fun.
Hunting and fishing stories, but sure.
Yeah, yeah. World record walleye caught.
Heather, who do you want the Lions to play?
Your people? No, I would go with what you said. I think it was you that said it. Like, let's play the... should be the easiest team to beat, which would be the Commanders, right?
Well, he said the Commanders.
I said the Commanders. He says the Packers.
Oh, you think the Packers are the easiest team to beat?
I do.
Yeah. I'm not going to necessarily disagree with that. But if they do play the Packers, I think the reasoning behind that is the Packers have beaten the Eagles, which might be the toughest team.
Does that suddenly make the Packers?
No, it doesn't. No, I'm just,
More ticket text, 248-539-9797 says, I want to get my opinion out there for who I want to see in the playoffs. Lions will beat whoever, so I'd like to see Jaden Daniels give me Washington. Mm-hmm. Then I want the Rams in the NFC Championship. It would be great if McVay watches Goff make the Super Bowl. Signed, Chris.
That would be very satisfying. I'm not going to disagree with that.
Do you think he regrets it at all? They won a Super Bowl, so I highly doubt it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think the ring on his finger probably says no.
Texter says, don't forget the storylines. Stafford and Kershaw are childhood friends.
Jeez. I don't want to do any of that. I'm over it.
I think they're the biggest threat, and I think they're the most annoying storyline if that ends up being, yet again, hey, Ford Field, Matthew Stafford's back.
Yeah.
It says, I agree with Gov. Tampa Bay and the Bills are the only teams that scare me. That's from Coop.
Who are the only teams that scare him?
Tampa and the Bills.
Tampa doesn't scare me. I know they beat us. That was a long time ago. And how many times, you know what? Actually, bring on Tampa, because how many times has this Lions team gone to Dallas and taken care of business? Business that carried over from last year. How many times have they already taken care of the Rams and the business of Goff versus Stafford and Kelly coming here and all of those different things? How many times have they taken care of business this year in situations where they're trying to right a wrong? And, I mean, San Francisco, they went out there and took care of business. So give me the Bucks, and at some point in the playoffs, and let's right a wrong.
248-539-9797. I'm nervous for whoever we have to play. I honestly think we're going to lose no matter what because of Jared Goff. He sucks, and we stand a better chance with Hendon Hooker, signed Jamar and Westland.
You know what?
Is Jamar and Westland actually Hendon Hooker?
Maybe it's Teddy Bridgewater now. Maybe they're tweeting to, or texting together.
I love it. I want him to call in. Are you real?
Because he's been doing this bit all season.
Yeah.
But it's intensified lately.
I know, but Goff is playing as good as he had. I mean, I know he threw two picks in the last game, but he's had as good a season as he's had in the NFL.
Yeah. I mean, for every pick he had about 10 laser beams.
Usually I can sniff out, like, if somebody's trolling us or playing us or trying to prank. I really don't know what the answer here is. I'm 50-50 on if that is a legitimate opinion or not.
It's a troll. There's no other explanation.
Yeah, and you know what? Here, this is from Twitch. I don't have to say it because they are. MDub76. Shut up, Jamar.
Ticket text 248-539-9797. More thoughts on who you want the Lions to face in next week's playoff debut of this this Lions team. Texter says, I want to play either the Commanders or the Packers. Please, God, no Kelly Stafford show. I wouldn't feel great about playing the Vikings two times in 3 weeks either.
Again, they've been there, done that. Is there anybody that is worried about Sam Darnold coming in here?
No.
Justin Jefferson may have. And in fact, by default, he's going to have better numbers. Like, it's amazing. Three catches, no touchdowns. Like, that's just not going to happen. But it doesn't scare me because it's still Sam Darnold throwing the ball. And it's Alex Anzalone covering TJ Hockenson all over.
Costa, please stop kissing Stafford and McVay's rear end. Please. All caps on the ticket text.
Yeah, Costa. Come on.
Have I said anything false?
You're still kind of, it's still coming across as kind of closet anti golf.
Oh no, we're not doing
you,
this.
You and Rieger were, you know, right there at the top of that list.
I don't want the storyline anymore. I don't want to have to do that bit anymore. I think
because you will.
Because we closed the door. I'm not doing it again. Goff has been emphatic. He's come in and been undeniable. Even as someone who was denying him for several seasons, I'm a reformed Goff hater. I don't think you can at all take away from what he's done. They are winning because of the way he commands this offense.
Until the kitchen gets hot, and you never know.
But I don't think it's at all out of line to point out that Stafford has one clutch playoff run in him. He has all these fourth quarter comebacks that we saw firsthand. He nearly beat Detroit last year in the playoffs, right?
But they didn't.
They were in the game, is my point.
But didn't.
Right. But none of these other teams even
nearly
rise
beat
to
them this year. But didn't.
Right. Overtime, though, let's call it what it is. None of these other quarterbacks.
But didn't.
None of these other quarterbacks rise to the threat level that he legitimately brings, whether we want to deny it or not, because we've moved on or not.
Thank you, M Dubs. Walleye.
Okay. 248-539-9797. You guys talk. I'll shut up. Let's get to Adam. You're on 97.1.
How you doing, boys? Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, just my thing, I'm kind of conflicted. I'd love to play the Packers one more time, come in the house, and we just beat them and go to the Super Bowl. But if we're going to be this, you know, this Cinderella, it's not even a Cinderella anymore. It's just a great story. And if we're going to be that, might as well just beat the best. I say let's beat the Eagles and then go on and beat the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. And then there's nobody can say anything. Oh, man, well, this guy was out. You didn't play the Eagles, this, that, and the other. I just think that we're about to witness something special here in Detroit. So love you guys. Listen to you every morning, man. You guys have a great day.
So Adam, hold on. Don't go anywhere. Yep. Because, I agree with you. So maybe I missed this at the beginning of your call, now that I'm starting to think about it. You said the Packers for this week, because they can't play the Eagles till the NFC Championship game, and obviously the Chiefs and the Super Bowl. I agree with both of those. Love to see both of those. Who was your pick for next week?
Oh, I come on back, Mr. Stafford, one more time. If that was going to be the case, yeah, I mean, I would definitely take the Rams just to get Stafford one more time, shut that up, put that to rest, and then have our greatest quarterback of all time, Jared Goff, you know, solidify that spot in Detroit. That's, you know, if we can beat him one more time, I think that would put everything to rest.
I do think the crowd is louder for the Rams games too, by the way, just because I think the crowd more feels juice. Like it's just a little more personal, right? Yeah. On both fronts. And I actually appreciated what last year's playoff game was. As much as it was discussed as Stafford's return, I really felt like Detroiters took it personal that it was about Goff. And that's where the Jared Goff chant started. It wasn't about, we don't like Matthew and he's the villain. I mean, clearly he's the opponent and he got booed. If you ask his wife, even his kids got booed. But I thought that was more about rallying around Jared Goff than anything else. And he had a big fourth down throw in the end zone, in the red zone. He had some big throws late in the game to seal the game. One to Amon-Ra St. Brown that made it official. That was about Jared Goff. And I appreciate what that was for him. I think he has that validation and satisfaction. And I think we all kind of do too at this point. I don't want the team with the biggest threat to come in here. I don't want to have the nauseating storyline. John, I look at if the Lions were to lose, it would be because of their defense, right? If they were to lose a playoff game, right? Most likely.
Most likely that would be the storyline. Sure,
but
they can lose a lot of different ways.
So then I don't want the quarterback that can make the big time throws, that has done it before, that has won these playoff games, that has won a Super Bowl. I also don't want Jaden Daniels because I think his ceiling, right? If he wins a playoff game, gets some confidence, extends some plays, and the Lions defense is chasing their tail, I'd rather face Jordan Love, who I know they can pummel. Hell, I'd rather face Sam Darnold, who I know is going to sit there and hold the football and panic again at Ford Field. Like to me, it's the Packers because it's two birds, one stone. You knock out the Eagles and you get a team that this team gets up for Green Bay. I mean, they really do. St. Brown with the Green Bay sucks shirt. Right. Doing the celebration, the handstand. They love playing the Packers. I'd love to see those cheeseheads get graded again. I'd love to see people bringing in the graders again. I'd love to see what the crowd does if they face the Packers in the playoffs.
Doug Karsh, Scott Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. Open lines 248-539-9797. I typically don't care about these things. In fact, I can't remember the last time I cared this much. I think it's very odd that the pattern of the quarterback of a one seed has won the NFL's MVP the last 7 years. And this year, the quarterback of a one seed, Jared Goff, isn't likely to finish any higher than fourth. And who knows where he will finish in this thing? And is this authentic disrespect? And if so, why? Why does the pattern get broken the year the Lions are a one seed? And I don't know that this is anything that really is necessarily, I'm not going to lose sleep over this, but I am saying if you are the Detroit Lions and you are Jared Goff, I ask you, Jared, and I ask you, Lions, have you seen this? Are you, like, because they, Jared Goff from the I'm a poor man's nobody to I thought we weren't able to play in the weather to everybody questions Dan Campbell's decisions. Like, those guys hear stuff, and we are pointing out that for some reason, our guy doesn't get the benefit of the being the quarterback of a one seed that the last seven MVPs got. But with that said, we have theories as to why. Gator, what's your theory?
I think there is mass prejudice at Jared Goff because he does not make plays with his feet. And because he doesn't have the pedigree of being a previous Super Bowl winner. So when you look at these guys that have won the MVP, and you can say, well, Tom Brady. Tom Brady's the GOAT, and Tom Brady has the reputation of being the Super Bowl champion. So you go back to maybe at this point he only had five Super Bowl championships prior to winning the MVP, whatever he did in 2018 or 17 or whatever it was. So because he's the GOAT, because he has that pedigree of winning the championships, and when he has ridiculous seasons like he has statistically, it's hard to overlook that. So he gets that pass for being the immobile quarterback. Aaron Rodgers, same thing. He already had the pedigree of winning a Super Bowl before, and the statistical numbers he put up those seasons were ridiculous. Jared Goff had an amazing year. Jared Goff over like the last three seasons is insane how good he has been. He was second in yards passing this year. He was second in quarterback rating this year. And I think he was fourth in touchdown passes this year. Had a hell of a year. Second maybe in completion percentage. He was awesome. But when you're comparing him to Josh Allen, because Josh Allen ran for 12 touchdowns, and Josh Allen beat the Lions, his team beat the Lions, that's going to get noticed. When you're comparing it against Lamar Jackson, who has whatever it was, did he have 1,000 yards rushing, close to 1,000 yards rushing in addition to being incredibly accurate this year and throwing 41 touchdowns against four interceptions, I get why he's not stacking up with those two. It just happens to be the year. But there is, I think, that prejudice that goes into it that he doesn't run. And it immediately is dismissed. Well, he can't move, but these guys can. Yeah, but they won 15 games this year. And then here's the other thing that'll come in. Is I think everybody would say when you start looking at offensive lines in the league, one of the first things they'll say about the Lions is what an offensive line they have. So he gets to work behind that offensive line. He's got other weapons with him. He's got the running game with with Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery. It's going to help him out. He's got Amon-Ra St. Brown, and he's got Sam Laporta, and here's Jameson Williams with a 1,000-yard season. When you're saying all these things, and then you're also probably not going to give him credit for helping to make those guys better,
yeah,
because that's what he does, and I agree with you. I think there's some disrespect here. I do also think, though, this is a year statistically that you can look at other guys and say they had better years, but I am so amazed at what Goff has done for 2 years. But is he being disrespected nationally? Yeah, in a backhanded kind of way, he is. Plus, the one coach that all the media really loves, and Sean McVay, and that they've been loving for years, he's the one who threw Jared Goff under the bus and made him the scapegoat of that team. Couldn't wait to get rid of him. You know, kicked him off the starting job as the team was getting ready to go to the playoffs. He has thumb surgery. They have to go back to Jared Goff, despite he's just days recovered from this thumb surgery, in a playoff game, which they win. Why, I hate's a strong word. I really despise Sean McVay and all the love that Sean McVay gets, but because they think that Sean McVay can do no wrong, they'll look at that
right.
example that he must have been right about Jared Goff, and, oh, it's just a nice reclamation story. The Jared Goff is—he's like the best version you can get of the Sam Darnold story or the Baker Mayfield story that we're seeing now.
Kang, your theory?
Yeah, I have a few here, and it's a pie of theories, right? And it all contributes to why I don't think Goff is even discussed for the MVP, because it's true, Gator. Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Saquon Barkley are having amazing years, at least stat-wise. They're doing amazing things. Yep. So there's other guys that you could debate to be the NFL MVP. My beef and gripe is, along with you, Doug, is he's not even in the discussion, yep. Okay? And part of the reason my theories is, one, you brought up the McVay thing. The McVay slander has followed Goff around and won't leave him for some reason, which made the national media believe that Goff isn't that good, which now the national media has manipulated everybody else, including fans, to think Goff's not that good. And the fact that he isn't flashy, he doesn't use his legs, he doesn't make these unbelievable highlight reel plays all the time, so people kind of neglect the fact that what he's doing is still amazing, but just because he doesn't throw it behind his back 40 yards down the field doesn't make it any less, you know, less great.
Let me just say, in addition to that, because I'm loving what you're saying, the other thing with the McVay stuff is that, you know, Goff had to leave to get to where he is, and now it has turned into more Ben Johnson love than it is Jared Goff love. Not that Ben Johnson hasn't been great as an offensive coordinator. Now everybody's saying, well, yeah, you're in the Ben Johnson offense.
Gator, it's because, and my final theory is, he's just not that respected by everybody else. He's not completely disrespected, but he's not as respected as he should be, because you bring up the Ben Johnson, the O-line, the weapons. Guess what? Go back in that list of NFL MVPs, Doug. They've had some good offensive weapons, yeah, and good offensive lines, and good offensive coordinators as well. Yep. And so people would say, well, it's the stats, guys. Lamar and Josh Allen, and they have these stats. Jared Goff is not just playing above average this year. This isn't like a Trent Dilfer year where the rest of the team's carrying him. He's fourth in touchdown passes, second in completion percentage, second in passer rating, second in passing yards, second in yards attempt. He's the only player in NFL history to complete 72% of his passes and throw for more than 4,500 yards in a season. The only player in NFL history. This year, he had 9 games of a completion percentage above 75%. The second greatest ever was Tom Brady in 2007 with 8. Brady won the MVP that year.
Right.
The 15-2 record with the number one seed, this is a thing.
with
and
quarterback.
And he's outpacing Tom Brady.
Yes. And the thing is, fine, he doesn't win it. He's not even being discussed.
Not even being discussed. Not even being discussed. Is the part that I'm with you. It's
don't
funny.
Don't even want to talk about him.
You guys have touched on, but I personally think each and every year, something that happens is the quarterback's ability to run gets a bigger slice of the pie of evaluating quarterbacks. It's a cool thing. I've always stated it's down my list of priorities when it comes to a quarterback. When you don't make the flashy run, I think it impacts negatively the perception of you. But let's talk to the people. 248-539-9797. John, you're on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, John.
Hey, guys. How we doing?
What's
thanks
up?
For taking my call.
Sure.
So, I mean, I agree with you guys. I'm just playing the devil's advocate here. But all those years that one-seed quarterback won the MVP, what was the other – like, where did the other one-seed finish? You know what I mean? Like, I don't have all the stats in front of me, but, like, I know it's Josh Allen this year that's probably going to win it. He's not the one seed. But I was just curious as to, like, where all those other quarterbacks finished in the MVP race to go along with that trend. But with Jared Goff, I think two games really hurt his credibility. It's the 5-interception game and the Tennessee game where they started, you know, on the – Titans 25-yard line on every possession. I mean, I know that's not his fault, but he still didn't have, like, a big stat game for that game. And I don't think – like, I do think that he should be in the discussion, but I think it should just be him and Josh Allen. I think with Lamar's 5 losses, that shouldn't – like, great players will get their teams to victory, like Jared Goff and Josh Allen. But with 5 losses, I don't think Lamar – I think he's overhyped, overrated. I mean, the fact that he's only in this discussion is because he's won 2 MVPs before. But yeah, I think it's just a two-man race. And, I mean, I kind of agree that he shouldn't be – or he should be getting talked about. But I honestly think this is Josh Allen's – this is his MVP year.
But Allen had back-to-back dog games, but they were early in the season. And people forget about the stuff that happens early in the season. Like when they lost to Baltimore, when they got smoked by Baltimore, 35-10. You know,
everyone forgot that.
People forget that. And then he follows that up the next week against Houston. They lose to Houston, and he goes 9-30 in the game. But people forget that. Because, well, he's making, look at that play he made with his feet and extended the play. And it's a highlight on, you know, and every highlight show there is on ESPN or on the NFL Network.
Thank you for bringing that up because people will bring up the fact that, you know, Goff lost to Allen and the Bills. Well, Allen and the Bills got smoked by the Ravens and Jackson.
Yeah.
And then Allen has had a bad game, just like Goff had the 5-pick game.
And they got beat by the Rams the week before they beat the Lions. Now, look, everybody's got games on their schedule that they didn't look all that great. And clearly Goff has an awful game against Houston. And none of us are advocating for Jared Goff to be the MVP of the league.
No.
All we're saying is he should be in the discussion.
He's not.
And it's not. It's a 3-horse race and nobody's even mentioning anybody else.
Carson Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. Love those Jets. 248-539-9797. Stoney here in for Mike. Rico here as always, and ladies and gentlemen, we introduce the one, the only, TJ Lang. What's happening?
Thank you, Michael.
You're very welcome, Thomas. We're good, doing good.
Feels great, man. I'm so happy I'm not getting on a plane tomorrow to go out to the West. Well, Arizona.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Your plans were...
It was a frightening thought last week.
Yeah,
like, I know we're still in the playoffs, but man, we got to go back to the West Coast.
I know that. It was funny because all the guys in the media said, "Oh wow, we don't have to go to LA."
Oh
now.
Man, yeah, because we were just out there a couple weeks ago in San Fran, and that is not easy.
But
not
San Fran and LA are a little different.
No, I'm talking about just the flight, though.
Oh,
you know, the 5 hours at a time. I mean,
but you own
you got
Ford One, so you're fine.
Happy. I'm happy to be home.
You got your own plane, your own flight pillow, though, now. So.
That's a good point.
You fly in private, so, you know, it's no big deal for you, TJ.
I'm terrible. I'm terrified to fly. Like, I'm just a nervous, anxious flyer.
I know.
I don't like flying. It scares the hell out of me.
I know.
I hate when people are like, oh, you got a better chance of getting in an accident on the way to the airport than on the plane.
You better hope.
You still don't want to deal with it, though.
But then when I get to the airport and I didn't get into an accident on the way there, I'm like, well, what are my chances now?
You know what, TJ?
You know what I mean, Dave? It's like,
that makes sense. Yes.
How about this? Pray to God you never take a flight with me, because all of those text messages that you send me during the Michigan State football game will come back to haunt you on that flight.
Oh, thank God for airplane mode.
Do you sleep on the plane? Because I do.
Man. Oh, yeah. I sleep, watch movies.
I sometimes fall asleep before we even take off.
Yes, I've done that before where the next thing I know, the flight attendant is, sir, you need to move your seat up. Oh, it's flight over? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Feel well rested. TJ, is that you over there in a puddle of sweat? All right.
Fair. That's factual.
By the way, speaking of Arizona, the Rams have announced that they did sell 25,000 tickets to the game already since the venue's been moved. So
what happens for fans that had like suites or first row seat? You know what I mean? Like box club seat, whatever.
Well, they get their money back if they don't want them.
That's what I'm saying. Like, or how does it translate to a new stadium? Right.
I guess
like
you know what? Just SOL, and I ain't talking same old Lions.
Yeah. You would have to get a refund, though. I would think.
Oh yeah.
And then have a new option to buy new tickets.
I'm wondering what happens to the Viking fans who are like similar to like Lions fans. Had the Lions lost, you know, it would have been a Lions takeover.
Yeah.
Flying out to L.A. Because I'm like, look, Minnesota, you bought tickets for Lions games. You might as well charter a couple buses and take your fans from L.A. to Phoenix so that they can watch the game. Because that's what gets me is, yeah, you flew out. You got hotels. You booked everything for L.A.
Yeah.
And oops.
No, yeah. A lot of people would be renting cars and driving from L.A. to Phoenix probably is what would have happened.
But then it's probably like the pandemic where all the rental cars gone.
Oh, yeah.
Got to rent a bus or something. Yeah, all the cars are gone.
So, TJ, question on the floor. You can answer this question because technically you're not a part of the team. You can be a fan.
Okay.
From one to this is the team that I want to see them play in 2 weeks to four, this is the team I'd rather them not play. If you could rank them one to four between the Packers, the Vikings,
Commanders,
Rams, and the Rams.
Who is
that team that you would love to see in Ford Field?
I think one would be Washington, because they're rookie quarterback, obviously.
That's what I said.
In Ford Field, which we know, for that Sunday night game against Minnesota, it's going to be even more crazier than that. So that, I think, would be my first choice. You match up really well with what they do. And your offensive line is good enough to kind of negate the strength of their defense, which is the front seven. So Washington would be one. I think Minnesota would probably be two. We just saw him come in last week, and Sam Darnold, we were kind of questioning it last Friday. Like, we're still waiting for Sam Darnold to, show us his
I thought he was.
And now that the games are only getting bigger, like, maybe I'm wrong, and maybe he flips a switch and goes back to playing great football. I just don't see that happening. Three would probably be Green Bay. I put Green Bay and Minnesota. I put right next to each other because it's a division rival. You've already played them twice. You want to risk it with a third matchup. When you're undefeated against those teams, so I'd kind of combine those guys at two and three, and then Rams or four. Just off, I have confidence in our our offense against them. Although their defense is playing really well. They got some young guys on that front seven. That
Verse really
can rush
good.
A passer. Fisk is playing really well. They got some other Kobe Turner, I think, the D tackle.
Mm-hmm. Last year.
Really well, man. They got some young guys that are fresh, energetic, young, don't know any better, right? Getting in the playoffs with no expectation. Like they can be kind of a scary team. So I would put them at four.
Hold on. But couldn't you use that same argument for Jaden Daniels?
Well, that's
young, too stupid to realize you're in the playoffs. And you should be nervous walking into Ford Field.
Sure, you could, but also at the same time, when you're a young player, being on the defensive line is totally different than being a quarterback. You make one big mistake on the D line, okay, we got other time. You make a bad, terrible read at quarterback, that could be game changing. You know what I mean? So that's where I put obviously different positions that don't have as big of an impact if you do have a rookie mistake. So, but yeah, you could probably make that argument. I'm starting to think, and I know he's toned it down a little bit. Daniels with the running, I know early in the season was going lights out, and then actually took a break there for a while.
I like to say he's Lamar light.
Yeah, but I also think that maybe there's some wear and tear from the first NFL season on his body a little bit. I don't know. I mean, these are all just speculations, but that's why I think I put Washington number one, and they're new, right? They've been a garbage team for a long time. I mean, they're new. They don't have a ton of guys with big time playoff experience. So obviously the Lions do. So I think that would be probably the most favorable matchup, in my opinion.
If you were playing on the Lions right now, what would you be? Would you go anywhere for the bye week, or would you be hanging out?
It's a good question. You know, obviously I live here, so
I know.
I'm assuming a lot of the guys will probably get out of town for a couple days.
Right.
I'm trying to think back. Every team's different, but I think I don't know when the guys were off. I know yesterday there were a lot of Zoom calls, so maybe yesterday was, you know, hey, come and get some light work, and then maybe you're off Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Yeah. Maybe
quite
Monday,
a few of them were the Pistons game last night.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I think anytime you get an opportunity, if you really, and it's hard because in the playoffs is different, a bye week different than the regular season. Regular season, you want to get away and hit the reset button and not even think about football, right? And just go spend time with family and doing some things that you don't get to do until the off season. Bye week in the playoffs is more like, I still gotta, I can't exit that football world, right? I can't take my mind out of that because sometimes it is hard to get back into, and you're in the playoffs now, right? So that's a little bit different. I don't know if a couple guys will get out of town for a couple days. I don't think that's a bad thing, but you can't. It's impossible to hit that switch and say, okay, football shut off. I'm gonna, you know, reset my mind. You just can't do that.
Victor Cruz, Odell Beckham Jr. deal. You know
what, the yacht party was that what it was?
Yeah, but I gotta think that it's. Well, I mean, I guess football players, they really have man caves because they're playing during the football season, so you don't have the whole thing decked out. But are you watching the games? Like, are you watching all the wild card games? Or is it just like, you know what? There's one particular team that I'm kind of scouting, or you like every other fan where you got your, you know what? What if we play this team? What if we play that team?
Yeah, I think you have to watch the games because you don't know who you're playing, right? And I don't know the schedule. I know there's no NFC teams that play tomorrow. What, Packers, Eagles, 4:30, Commanders, Bucks.
Right.
So, yeah, Sunday afternoon, Sunday night.
4:30, 8:30.
Depending on what happens those two games, obviously, if, you know, Tampa wins and the Eagles win, you know you're playing the winner of Rams, Vikings. So
right.
Maybe that's, you know, maybe you're just locking all your focus to that Monday night to get a jump start on some of the scouting. But with the exception of the Commanders, all the other teams, the other three teams that you've played, there's already some familiarity with, obviously, with two division teams in the playoffs. And then the Rams, I know it was early in the season, but you do have a benefit. And look, the other team will have a benefit as well of kind of getting some advanced scouting done about these guys. Washington's the only team that you haven't played this year. So I would imagine a lot of guys will, if the Eagles win, a lot of guys will be locked in on that Washington game because you haven't watched a lot of their film yet this season because you haven't had to prepare for them.
Right.
So I imagine that's a game Sunday night that, hey, you know, possibility we're going to be playing these guys, haven't played them in a couple years, right? Let's kind of lock in and start to jump on some of that preparation before we get back to work Tuesday or Wednesday.
248-539-9797. Some Lions made the all-pro team, which is actually, even though I know the way players feel about the media, it's more of a, it's an immediate vote, but players like the all-pro actually more than the Pro Bowl, I believe, because it's harder. It's more selective, and the Lions got some good news on some of their players today. We'll let you know who those guys are, and some Lions coaches had interviews today. 97 won the ticket.